This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play Stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I watched and listened to this whole thing, first at the station, then driving down here, and I caught the very end of it when I was sitting in the parking lot here at the Rivers. One of the biggest winners today, in my opinion, is Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph, I think, unless the Steelers draft somebody with the 21st pick, or Aaron Rodgers has everything in his personal life freed up and it changes in the next few months, he's in the driver's seat to be the Steelers' starting quarterback, and I'm not opposed to that, but I really didn't think a week before draft night I would be saying that. Just these quotes from Rodgers. Personal commitments. He talked about his girlfriend. People in my inner circle are going through difficult stuff right now. It's taken my attention away from football. So, what are the Steelers waiting on or waiting for? They're waiting for a guy who's barely outside of a workout here and there with DK Metcalf. He says working out. I don't know how much football workouts he's doing. He's keeping himself in shape. But this isn't like Tom Brady in his 40s where every day he spent getting better at football. What can I do when I get up today to make myself a better football player? Aaron Rodgers isn't doing any of that. I mean, he's not going to give us, he's not going to tell people exactly what's going on with his personal life and his friends. Clearly, they're in enough trouble or there's enough going wrong right now where he can't tell the Steelers or any team, yes, I'm ready to play. Unless he told Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin and Art Rooney, this is what my friends are going through and this is how long I think it's going to take them to get better. I don't get, sorry, I'm at a loss for words here. I don't get how they could have come out of that meeting thinking, yeah, we're in good shape with Aaron Rodgers. We feel like it's a slam dunk he's going to sign here. He sounded like a guy who needs a lot of things to happen in order for him to shift his attention from what's going on in his personal life to football. It's only April. The season doesn't start until September. But maybe that's why Mike Tomlin said at the owners' meetings, training camp is an important date, because his feedback, his conversations with Rodgers made him think he's nowhere close to making a decision on what to do with his football future. And after watching and listening to McAfee, that's the conclusion I come up with. You know, oh, he's going to announce a big night out. No, oh, he's going to announce draft week. No, he's not. So we're going to be in this standstill for a very, very, very long time unless the Steelers come up with something or pivot to something that they like more. You know, maybe that's why Art is putting pressure on Mike and Omar to meet with some of these quarterbacks in the draft. You know, he said he's not going to wait forever on Rodgers. He might have to if Rodgers is going to prioritize these things in his personal life first. So I started to feel after talking to Aditi yesterday like this wasn't going to happen and that there was a better chance than not Aaron Rodgers was going to put off football in 2025 or not play. That's honestly how I feel after watching him today. And I wonder about you too. 412-928-9370. Donnie, you were watching with me. Your thoughts on what we saw from Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, I know we have been talking about this now for well over a month. What is it, like 5 weeks we're going on? It feels like much longer than that. And for the last few weeks, I have said, yeah, as annoying as Aaron Rodgers and as dramatic as Aaron Rodgers may be, the Steelers are the team doing this because they could virtually just back out of this thing at any time, and they refuse to do so. They continue to act like and talk like they are in the know and they have full control of the situation. Based on what we heard today, I have zero indication of that.
And Donnie, let's look at this from this perspective. Aaron Rodgers apparently isn't in any control. It's dependent on these people who he's close to.
The inner circle. It sounds like a wrestling faction.
He said the inner circle. Something needs to get resolved with these people before he can concentrate on football again. If it's health related, who knows how long it's going to take? I mean, I thought that's what he was alluding to. This is just me having gone through personal life situations before, having sick loved ones, losing loved ones. That's what it sounded like to me. Somebody very close to me is dealing with a serious health issue. So, I mean, what are the Steelers going to wait for? The person to heal or for them to get worse? I mean, I don't know.
The Steelers continue to look more and more foolish here. And if you're going to be somebody out there that doesn't see it that way, I'm sorry, but I think you're a fool with them.
Donnie, he didn't even want to say. He could have easily gone on there because Pat, to his credit, asked him this question. He could have said, you know what? I'm here to clear the air, which he said several times. I'm here to be open with you guys and transparent with you guys. Once these things get figured out and fixed, I'm ready to go to Pittsburgh and be a Steeler. And he still didn't even want to say that.
So that's the
other part of it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like he really has much of an interest at all in playing football. And I actually think, and I'm glad we put it out there into the universe yesterday, and people can go back on social media and find it, the clip that we had with Aditi yesterday, because I think what she said later in that interview is pretty accurate as to what is going on. Now, of course, Rodgers loves to dispel all of the BS that is out there. But the picture that she painted, Pony, if we go back to that, it sounds pretty accurate as to what the situation is. Like, Rodgers is absolutely contemplating retirement. Now, she didn't throw in the off, you know, the family stuff or the inner circle stuff or any of that. But yeah, he's absolutely contemplating giving up football. And I still think that there is truth that he would rather wait on a true contender, and he may not see the Steelers that way because, let's be honest, they're not.
Well, look, if he knows he's got divided attention and other things going on and can't commit all his energy to his career right now, it would be easier for him to parachute into or get dropped into a situation that's easier, better leaders, offense in good shape, coaches that he trusts, all of those things, than, you know, something that's maybe more akin to the Jets, where he has to take the bull by the horns and take charge of the situation. It doesn't look. I mean, he made it sound like it isn't about the, you know, I need a coach who's wired this way, or I need an offensive line that looks like this, or wide receivers that play like this. he seemed genuinely to make it about his own personal life situation. And that's the holdup, and not, he said, you know, Ben's hypothesis about waiting out the Vikings, he said that was wrong. It's not about the Vikings' preference over the Steelers. It's legitimately about my personal life. Okay, so even if we don't get into argument about, you know, is Rodgers being dishonest? Is he lying? Is he telling the truth? If we even just take him at his word, he sounds like a guy who is very far away from making a decision on the Steelers. And it just blows to smithereens all of this secret deal, secret handshake, this the vibe that the Steelers put out now at the owners' meeting baffles my mind, that they would come across both Mike Tomlin and more so Art Rooney, that they would seem so confident that this was going to happen. I mean, Art was practically chortling and giggling with reporters about it, making it sound like he thought, like he talked so freely, and he painted the impression, or I thought made it seem like this was only a matter of time. It's very, very far from a done deal. And I think, you know, I'm fine with Mason Rudolph. If Mike Tomlin legitimately is not fine with him, then they got to make alternative plans early in the draft, or, you know, wait out Kirk Cousins. I don't know. But this does now, I think, have a very good chance of blowing up in their face. They put all their eggs in this guy's basket, and if he really is being truthful and let them know from day one, hey, I'll come visit you guys, I'll work out with DK Metcalf, but I'm very far from giving you any kind of confidence that I'm going to play there, because I need these things to get shored up in my personal life, and they're still this committed and this latched onto and this in this still desperate for Aaron Rodgers. It's crazy. You know, I thought that he might say something today that made Steelers fans get some level of peace of mind, like, okay, he doesn't want to announce it on Pat's show, but hey, he's coming here. Pat asked him several times, hey, once your personal life gets figured out, are you going to be a Steeler? And he wouldn't answer that question.
Listen, this entire time, I haven't felt like I owed anybody some sort of decision at any point. This is my life. Like I said, things are different now. My life is different. My personal life is different. I have stuff in the inner circle that, you know, I'm intimately close to, that it's really important to me. And I've been upfront with him about that and said, listen, if you need to move on, if you need to do something, by all means, like nothing but love and respect, if that's a decision that needs to be made. But there's been no deadline, and I've talked to Mike T many times.
There's been no deadline. That's Aaron Rodgers, of course, with the Pat McAfee show yesterday. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The phone lines are lit up, and we will take your calls in a couple of minutes at 412-928-9370. No deadline. Getting to that, too. Doran, you said you had two takeaways from yesterday, two things you gleaned.
Absolutely. As much as we were expecting Aaron Rodgers to have some type of concrete deal going on with what the situation is, we didn't get that, but you can take away some things, and I did too. Listen, this is speculation season, right? This is speculation season. We're a little bit under a week before the start of the NFL draft, and we've seen mocks and we've seen people talk about who the Steelers might take at 21. And to me, after this discussion yesterday with Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee, it is more evident than ever that the Steelers are 95% in on taking a quarterback in the first round. That's what I took from it. Like, now, if they knew this, or if they are just finding out this about Aaron Rodgers, I think that all the speculation of Jackson Dart, all the speculation of Shedeur Sanders, even the speculation of Jalen Milroe is real. It's as real as it's ever been. Like, they cannot go into the season now. They could draft a quarterback in the fourth round, Will Howard or whatever, but I don't think that the Steelers want to go into the season with Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, and Skylar Thompson. I think that they are more than ever and more evident than ever in a position that if a guy is there in the with the 21st pick, that they will pick a quarterback.
Can I stop you after that one, and then we'll get to your second one? Okay. I don't disagree. I hope that his decision, though, Rodgers' decision, or indecision in this case, isn't the reason why they would take a guy.
Yeah, I don't think. I think that they've always kind of wanted to.
Yeah.
But now it just come into light a little bit more of what their thought process has been around this draft. Like, they didn't know with Aaron Rodgers, but I think that they've always kind of wanted to take a quarterback. But now it's just coming to light that it is, the speculation is real.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll draw an analogy here. We've all been in long-term relationships. We're in long-term relationships right now. But we've also been part of breakups. And then there's the rebound girl. I hope that Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart wouldn't be the rebound girl that you fall in love with because you were desperate and you were hurting. And now you're just, hey, it's a nice warm bosom and I'm in love with it.
Well, that's what Aaron Rodgers was.
You think Rodgers was the rebound girl?
Rodgers was the rebound from Fields. And that's why Aaron Rodgers is like, no, I'm going to take my time.
I'm going to take my time.
Stuff I'm doing. I think he was the rebound.
You draft Shedeur Sanders or you draft Jackson Dart because you love that player independent of Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
And if you're taking a quarterback at 21, it just can't be freaking out of desperation because, oh my God, it can't be Rudolph for 17 games. All right, that's my thought on that. We have Anthony in Oakland. We have Rocky in Blonox. We have others. We'll get to you. 412-928-9370. That's takeaway number one. What's takeaway number two?
Well, whether he was joking or not, I would use this as a negotiation tactic. I mean, you have to. And he said he'd play for $10 million. As funny as that sounds, he's like, I'd play for $10 million. It's not about the money. Oh, it's not about the money? So whatever we were going to negotiate for you, one-year, $25, $28 million deal, like I wouldn't use that anymore. Like, if he wants to come back to the table, if he wants to play for the Steelers, like, you said that you would want to play. You said you'd play for $10 million. So now we can get TJ done. We don't have to worry about that money. And I would be like, all right, $10 to $15 million for 1 year. Because that's what you said. It's not about money. Like, whether it was he was joking or not, or not as serious as probably, you know, a team might take it. Like, I would take it serious. Like, you said that. So now, you know, you want to come in July? Yeah, 1 year, $10 million. Here you go.
Did you know Aaron Rodgers has made more money playing football than any player in the history of the game?
I did not know that yesterday.
I found that out yesterday, too.
Aditi, I think she said that, right?
Kinkabwala.
$400 million?
I love saying Aditi's name. It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, you do say it.
Aditi Kinkabwala. Yes. I love that name. Mm-hmm. Love Aditi. She's very good at her job. Matthew Stafford, number two. Tom Brady, three. Russell Wilson, four. This guy, my God. Matt Ryan, five. All right. I don't know.
Is it $400 million?
About that, Jim.
Jeez.
Callis says we'll round up. It's at 381.
Can I play this for you real quick?
Sure. Aditi Kinkabwala. Kinkabwala. I don't know that I buy the $10 million thing. And it's tough because I'm picking and choosing things that I want to believe here.
He said it, though.
He did say it.
You can't just say that and expect somebody not to take you serious.
Well, because I think about when he came and visited the Steelers and some of the reported financial figures from, like, Mike Florio and stuff. And look, we all found out that Rodgers was at the Steelers facility, and Rodgers said it didn't come from his camp. He was entering the back door. He's renting a Malibu. The guy is, he's trying to you know, come in under cover of darkness. So he says that probably got leaked from the Steelers. Why would the $10 million thing not have been leaked? And if he's meeting with the Vikings and he met with the Giants and he met with the Jets, I don't know what to believe. You would think the $10 million figure would be leaked out there.
I think that there wasn't even any money discussed. I think he's just saying that.
Oh, man.
I don't think money has even been discussed up until this point. And he's just saying, like, look, it's not about money. Like, I just wanted to meet with the Steelers. I wanted to see what they're... you know, how they operated and their thought process, their offense. Like, it never even got to talking financials.
Because I'd
play for $10 million. Like, it's not about money for me.
I'm inclined to... Common sense leads you to believe he's telling the truth. I want to win if he's coming someplace. I want to win, which means I'm probably going to have to take a little bit of a They're going to have to be that hometown, quote-unquote, discount.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But I just feel like we would have heard it by now.
This is the Pomp and Joe Show, but Pomp and Joe are off today. I am the substitute teacher, Jason Mackey, joined in studio this hour with Tyler Kennedy. Austin Bechtold, Limits, City Limits, Limitless Wonder. What do you prefer?
All the above, Jason.
What do you prefer?
I prefer my first name,
then
Austin.
I will call you Austin.
That or Limits, which I've adopted and have taken in stride, which a lot of people do call me City Limits or Limits when I see people out in public. It's like a half and half thing, Jason. It's kind of odd.
So here's the dilemma that I have as somebody who works with you. As a friend, I would call you just Limits.
Yeah.
You know, privately. On the air or in this setting, I want to call you Austin so people know you are Austin Bechtold. You are a person. This is your brand. But at the same time, your brand might be Limits and you might prefer that. So anyway, I twist myself into a pretzel not knowing exactly what to call you.
How'd you get the name? Like, tell us the backstory on City Limits.
So Joe is known for giving everyone a nickname.
Yeah.
Everyone that either works with him, he knows. And he decided that he was going to try to give me multiple different ones and just see what stuck. And eventually, I guess he was watching TV one day and saw that there is a Austin City Limits music festival TV show.
Yep.
Based in, I think it's Austin, Texas, which would make the most sense. And he decided one day to just call me City Limits based off of Austin City Limits. And I was like, oh, you know, Joe, you've given me four or five different names before that never really stuck and weren't very good. This might actually be the one that does.
because it's a little bit catchy. It kind of sounds cool, and it flows. And it has to – you have a nickname, it has to flow. And I'm glad that this one, out of all the other options, like Wonder Twin, Mr. P, all kind of weird things that were thrown out there, that Limits is what ended up being the main nickname. So
TK, I was complimenting hockey players up and down, and I meant everything I said. You guys are the toughest, craziest. It's so respectable. But you know what? Your nicknames stink.
Why?
Because they're unimaginative. If he was a hockey player, he'd be Bechty. He would. It's everything just adding a Y on the end.
Yeah, I know.
Limits is an actual nickname.
Yeah. Doran and Crowley do call me Bechty, and I kind of do like it.
That's a terrible nickname.
I think it's fine.
I think it's terrible.
I was always called A-Man by my family always called me A-Man.
City
A-Man?
Limits is great.
Or A-B, but then Antonio Brown kind of went crazy, so A-B had a derogatory term to it.
No.
So A-B, I haven't heard that as much frequently.
All right.
I like good. City Limits. You got to put that on a t-shirt.
There is an Austin City Limits t-shirt that my uncle bought me months ago. So it's like pretty cool.
All right.
I'll have to wear it soon.
Okay. All right, let's talk about Sid. Whose actual nickname is Daryl, correct?
Yeah.
I don't know the backstory there. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole because we have other Sidney Crosby stuff to talk about. TK, he was voted, I believe, for the sixth consecutive year the most complete player by his peers. I would imagine. I mean, you guys aren't in this for awards, but the same as on our side of the fence, you know, somebody in journalism thinks a lot of your work. I'd imagine fellow players thinking a lot of your work means something. Is Sid more of a specimen or more of an incredible talent on the ice or off the ice, in your opinion?
That's pretty close. Just the way he treats people, like, he's got all the bases covered. You know, the way he's just thoughtful, he cares about his teammates, and obviously his on-ice performance is his on-ice performance. Then you see he gets picked by his peers, that he's an all-around player, this and that, and it's like, When you get okayed that you're a good player from, like, your buddies, means so much more than anything else. It's like when your brother says you're a good hockey player, or, you know, he can golf. You know, when you're in your golfing group and they go, well, who's the best one, and they all point at you, you know you're a legit, you know, and that's probably what it means when all the NHL guys pick him. You know, it's got to make him feel good. And, you know, he's been around like 20 years.
It's like, crazy, man.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Like he knows so many people in the league. Like, he's like the grandfather in the league that everyone looks up to, everyone respects. And I would say probably 25% of the guys in the NHL had a Sidney Crosby poster in their room growing up. And now they're playing against him, and he's still scoring, you know, 30 goals, he's still getting 90 points. Like, they must be like, this is insane.
Yeah. What's the most absurd story, and I mean absurd in a good way, about, like, Sid off the ice? Him waiting for somebody, some charitable endeavor you might have witnessed. Just a couple examples for myself, like covering the team. I remember being in the dressing room once, and there were visitors from, like, the Penguins marketing side, and I forget how I knew these people, but I did. And Sid was not supposed to see them at all. Like, there was nothing arranged. This was not planned. Sid just randomly goes up to him, starts, like, chatting him up and, like, giving him a stick and taking care of him. I remember Jen Bolano from the Penguins telling me a story about Sid, how he visited a kid in the hospital and did it, like, you know, on his own. There's no cameras. He's not trying to do anything. Yeah. And they started talking about some specific toy. And Sid went to Toys R Us, bought a bunch of this toy, and then asked Jen, like, hey, I need to get back to the hospital. Like, me and so-and-so were talking about this, and, like, I got him. And these aren't publicized events. He's not looking for credit. It's just crazy, the stuff he does.
Yeah, and he does it because he's got a great heart. You know,
he's just a fundamentally good person.
Just a great person. Obviously, a lot of respect to his parents because they did something really good. You know, but he just does stuff like, you know, writing letters to staff, handwriting letters to staff, stuff like that is just different. It makes it that much, like, more special. But, like, you know, on the player side, I always, like thought this was probably the coolest thing ever because it's such a competitive sport. But I was struggling to score. You know, I couldn't score. And you can probably see in the way I was playing how I was, like, acting and just gripping my stick and this is when Sid was having his concussions. And I remember, like, after practice, he called me over and he was just talking about, like, how to score more goals. He's like, hey, TK, my he was talking about his thought process. And he's like, TK, when I grab the puck, I think of, like, the offensive zone as a funnel to the net. Every time I make a move, I go to the net. He goes, right now, what you do, you play outside that funnel. I always try to get inside that funnel. He goes, where's the puck always going, TK? I go, well, it's always going to the net. He goes, do you ever hang around the net? And I was like, no. You know, and he just thought different. But, like, after every, you know, we did this for, like, 2 weeks and just, like, showing me some of the things that, like, you know, making moves, that quick move to the net or, like, kind of getting open in front of the net. And then
we was trying to, like, program your mind, too, yeah, I'd,
like,
imagine.
Yeah,
right?
Like just,
you,
a,
like,
different.
You have that idea, that thought.
Yeah, and, like, really, like, not many other guys would ever, like, help you because, you know, it is competitive. Guys are trying to steal each other's spot. That's what makes it good. That's what makes you play so good. But him just taking that extra time, he didn't ever need it to. And then I end up scoring two big goals in Florida. And when I came off the ice, he was the first guy to, like, give me a hug and, like, congratulate me because he knew how much those two goals meant to me. And just, like,
that's awesome.
You know, and you know when you see him, it's just, like, you don't have to say anything. You just, like, this, thank you. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. You know, just, like, even just taking care of, like, some old teammates. I don't want to get into it, but, like,
yeah,
guys he played with, like, you know, great, like, 15 years ago, you know, and he still, like, helps him out. And, again, you know, I can text Sid, and I know he's getting back to me. You know, like, he never big dogs anyway. And then, like, again, like, that's what makes him so special. Like, you know, Sid can say jump through a wall, I'd probably jump through a wall and not ask questions. You know, that's the respect I have for him. Like, he's everything everyone writes and more. And every team I went to, from San Jose to Long Island to New Jersey, not average players were asking about, their best players, the Joe Thorntons, the Joe Pavelskis, were acting like, what's Sid do? What's Sid like? What's he do? And I was like, guys, like, you guys are Hall of Famer too. Like, you know, like, Sid's like Sid. You got to be around him, you know? And everyone always wants to know what Sid's doing, you know? It's been like that for 20 years.
I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty special.
Dude, I've told this story before, but when I was on hockey, it was 14-15 season, was my first year on the beat, and you guys played, it was a back-to-back on Long Island, and so Josh Yowie was at the Trib with me at the time. He covered the home game, and then I was at the second game. So I'm in Long Island Marriott. You've been there a thousand times. And then the morning of the game, I go for a run or something at like 11 o'clock. It was like morning skate time. I get down into the fitness center, the gym at the Long Island Marriott. There's one person there.
Yeah.
Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
Like, in the public Long Island Marriott thing. I think it was actually exactly at 11:30, TK, because it was like the road time of a road morning skate where he had to, like, get a workout in, get a stretch. That was his availability, or that was like the time he had to do it, and it had to be right on schedule. And we ended up just, like, talking for the next 30 minutes, like, while each other was working out.
Yeah,
it was just, I knew well before, but that was just like, this dude is so different.
Like, when's the last time you seen Sid pull, like, one of those, like, stupid, like, injuries, like a bad groin or, like, just like a hip flexor.
I mean,
it's a hamstring. Like, he never, like, he
and
just,
not only that, he's getting better. He's like Benjamin Button. I forget who I called him that on one of the broadcasts.
Yeah.
Might have been Emily Kaplan, or no, it was Leah Hextall after the last time. Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, Sidney Crosby's playing better hockey right now than he did at the beginning of the year. You know, when I think of guys at the end of their career, like, I knew I was coming to an end when the last five games I was hanging on by a shoestring, you know, and just trying to get through them. This guy can play, and he's just getting better with time, and it's pretty scary what he can accomplish. And, you know, I love talking about Sid because he's like the best of the best, you know. And I love some of the things, because Sid would always, like, play games too. Like, he likes to have fun with the boys too, and we would go for these team dinners, you know, and it's where everyone throws their credit card in the hat, and, you know, you hope you don't get it because the bills are pretty big, you know.
Yeah.
He'd let the rookies sweat a little bit and already give the card to the waiter, you know, and take it over for the rookies because, like, you know, they're not.
Oh, he paid for it.
Yeah, he paid, but he let the, you know, the rookies sweat because, like, a $2,000, you know, dinner bill is a little more pricey for a guy who just got called up that was making that every 2 weeks in the A. Sure. But that's just him having fun, you know, and he's such a great dude, like, just awesome.
That's awesome, man. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at the 93.7.com fan contesting page. All right, so let's solve some problems, TK. I want to jump in, get into some actual hockey talk, and then we'll finish with some fun stuff.
I'm not getting paid enough to get solved problems for the team.
Well, too just bad, kidding. Buddy. Too bad. We're going to have to negotiate that deal. I don't know, because there's some problems you need we need to solve. What do you do with Erik Karlsson this offseason? What can you do with Erik Karlsson this offseason?
I don't think you can do anything.
Okay.
You know, I feel like his price tag's obviously big, you know, and I don't think...
Prohibitive.
I think that's going to, like, handcuff you to get rid of him, unless you want to keep a lot of money yourself, you know, unless you're going
to
swallow.
You're going to have to eat some, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to swallow some. And, you know, then when you talk about another guy like Graves, you know, like, what do you do with him? You know, like, there's only... You can only make so many moves. And when Kyle Dubas talked about after the trade deadline, he's like, we're done trading. You know, we're going to start building now, you know. And that means he couldn't get rid of some guys, you know. And now he's got to deal with what he has. But Karlsson, he's not going nowhere.
You're depressing me with that one.
But
all
like,
right.
You just have to get him to rein it in a little bit. Like, understand, like, hey, you're not the same player you were 5 years ago. Like, just play.
I don't know
simple.
If it's in his DNA, TK.
No,
I understand what you're saying. You're 100%. Absolutely right. I just don't know, but it's happening.
But that's the only way the team's going to be successful, because if you have everyone on their own page, or even a couple guys, like, that's a recipe for disaster of giving up goals. And, like, that's where guys, like, have to sit them down and be like, dude, we don't want you to be that guy that used to skate all over the ice and go for a 2-on-1 when you're a defense. You know, you need to play defense. Let us try to get in the playoffs. Like, your legacy will be more important when you go and make a playoff run than a guy that just puts up numbers. You know, again, when you look at guys'
you've
career.
You've done that. You've put up numbers. You've won awards.
I know.
Do the team thing.
It's like Ovechkin, right? Like, he didn't get respect until he literally won the Stanley Cup. Then it was like, okay, you know, because you got to win. I think winning helps your resume a ton. You know, if you go through a career and you don't win, it's not as meaningful unless you win a cup. And, you know, Sid having three, Ovi having one, but he still got one. You know, like, you need to win. You need to show that you know how to buy into a team and produce and to do whatever it takes for the team to win.
Tristan Jarry. My own opinion, I think he might have helped his trade value.
Yeah,
the way he's bounced back, and I don't think it is in the Penguins' best interest to keep him here. I would like to see them give some opportunity, give some runway to some of the young guys they have in the A. I think Murashov might be pretty darn good.
Yeah,
Blomqvist, Larson, I don't know. What would you do? What can you do with Jarry?
Well, first off, like, after him being called up from the AHL, he's come back. And he's played a lot different than I've ever seen him play. And
yes.
And the swagger, the little bit of like, hey, I'm a good goalie. And the second part of that is his ability to like turn the page and not let one goal turn into like five, you know. And that's the biggest difference. And when I think of him, it was never as is. Physical ability. Like, he's got NHL starting physically ability, and he's been to all-star games. He's been to all that. It was between his ears, and that's the biggest thing I've seen change in Tristan Jarry, which is a huge positive, which is huge. But when we talk about these games aren't, they don't mean anything. So I want to see him in a pressure-filled game. I think he probably wants a new start. He probably wants a new start because, like, you're starting fresh. You know, you can do it every, you can make any persona you want going to a new team. You know, that's why sometimes, like, when you leave a team, a guy comes in and becomes a third liner, becomes a first liner and a goal scorer because he had an opportunity to change the way he plays or even the way he thinks of himself. So I think it's going to be hard to get rid of him because I think this is how, like, a lot of GMs think too. But I wouldn't be opposed to keeping him either. I'm a guy that gives guys second chance. I want to see if he can continue this, turning the page on bad goals, bring in that swagger. But then what do you do with the young guys? What do you do with Ned? Like, Mershoff, like, I think from what I'm hearing, like, he's every bit of the maturity, the being able to, like, battle and stop not every goal, but the goals that make you win games, all that. Blomqvist, I'd like to see him a little bit more. I think maybe they called him up too early and he didn't make the stops I'd want to see. But when you talk about goalies, like, this is the difference between the NHL and the AHL. In the AHL, I was like a 30 to 35 goal scorer. In the NHL, I might have got 10 goals.
Yeah.
And then when you think of the guys that score, especially now, everyone gets like 20 goals. Like, the shot velocity, the thought process on shots, the guys that score goals, it's a whole different animal from the AHL to the NHL. So he can do as good as he wants down there, but I want to see him have a guy like Raquel coming down, or a guy like Brian Rust, Sidney Crosby. Let's see if he can stop him in a pressure-filled situation, because it's different.
I'm just not buying it. I'm not. 8-4-2 since he's come back, a .904 save percentage. Like you're talking about, TK, some stuff that, you know, it's not high pressure. It's not down the stretch competing for a playoff spot. It's not high leverage is what the term they'd use in baseball. But at the same time, I think there's enough there. I don't know if you read this story. You probably see it with your eyes because you watch hockey differently than us. But Tristan recently talked to Matt Wenzel from the Post-Gazette about moving differently a little bit. Not so much like stop and start, not focusing as much on technique, more of like a free-flowing and feeling the game, which I think is a little bit more Tristan. I am intrigued by like playing differently, that idea. I hope it's enough to do something, and we'll finish up this part of the conversation with Graves this way. I feel like they have to do something with one of those three guys, right? Like, you're going to have to eat some money on Carlson, Jari, or Graves.
Yeah.
Maybe multiple. Maybe you trade one. I think it's probably a sunk cost with Graves. Where do you go with that? Same?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like, what I hope to see when the team comes back, like a different team, you know, we just haven't made the playoffs in 3 years. And I know it takes time to rebuild a really good team to consistently make the playoffs, but you would hope they would give other guys opportunities to do something and build for 2 or 3 years. Like, you got to give Koivunen first line minutes. You got to give McGroarty time after time, ability to make mistakes and keep playing, like all that. And then Graves and that decor, like, I when I look at Shea and St. Ivany, they played so good at the end of last year together. Like, you got to just put them out there and let them figure it out, because they've done it before. Can they do it again? Like, I want to see that, but what are you going to have a guy making six sitting in the stands? Like, that doesn't look good either, you know? So they're in a tough spot, but they do need to change something. You know, that things need to happen, and it needs to happen probably this summer. Again, they need to pick up a top six guy. They need to pick up, I don't know what's the story with Bonko. Like, you know, he's out like 6 months, like 7 months. Like, so he's just coming back at September, October. Like, that's going to be tough for him to jump in and be like him, you know? So you're going to have to find a tough guy. One tough guy, like a bottom six, a top forward, a top six forward, a bottom six forward.
Probably a left side defense, right? If you're losing Grizzlick, or maybe you bring him back.
Yeah, I would bring him back. Like,
I would too.
For like probably his price tag. Like, I can't see us not bringing him back. I think he's.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see them get out from under Carlson and balance out your pairs a little bit. They need more depth on the left side.
Especially like with Timmins playing on the opposite side.
Yeah.
With Carlson, like, that was hard on him, you know, and you can't let a younger guy play on the opposite side to let a veteran guy play on his good side, you know, like, that doesn't make sense. Like, again, there's got to be some moves this summer for sure.
All right. So it's WrestleMania this weekend. I don't know how big of a wrestling guy you are. Of the guys you've played with, who would make the best professional wrestler?
I would say either Brent Burns or Bobby Farnham. Remember Bobby?
Oh, Bobby Farnham. Yeah. Beautiful Bobby.
Bobby, I feel like he had that personality to walk in and do, like, you know, the Hulk Hogan and all the crazy stuff. Like, I think he would be He would be a guy that would be able to put on a show and enjoy it and run with it.
Boy, Burnsy's a good one too.
Oh yeah.
I might go with Brent Burns there because Bobby Farnham, I feel like, would come into the ring and then somebody would grab him and throw him out. Yeah. But he'd be a gigantic pest in the meantime.
Burnsy had the best tattoos too. He had the coolest tattoos.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. He had his back's completely tattooed. He's got this big like African or safari tree, and he's got all these like tigers and all this stuff.
Ice.
And it's just born to be wild. And that's what he is. Burnsy's wild. It was his back is really cool.
All right, I'm gonna keep going. So you saw the McAfee thing with Sid. We're talking about Sid. Could you make that throw?
Not in front of that many people.
I don't think I could either.
No.
And you're going on vacation, right? You're going away?
Yeah, I'm going to see my parents.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What kind of vacationer are you? Good vacationer, bad vacationer? Can you unplug? Well,
it's cold up there, so
it's not the same, huh?
Yeah, it's different.
Buccos winners yesterday, 1-0. The first batter of the game for the Buccos hits a bomb. So back-to-back games with a homer for O'Neill Cruz. And the Pirates have now won 2 straight. They've won 3 out of 4. Break them up! You just know, Doran, that now O'Neill's not going to be in the lineup tonight, right?
Of course.
He hits a homer back-to-back days, and Shelty's like, sit him down.
Yep.
Sit him down.
Yep.
Joining us now to get into it is our guy from the Post-Gazette, a wonderful man, a tremendous human, Noah Hiles. Hi, Noah.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
I think we're good.
We're great.
Should I ask him my first pitch question now, or should I ask it later?
Now.
No, I'm throwing out the first pitch tonight. Will you be in your press box seat? Will you have tweeted your picture? This seat'll do by the time I'm ripping that thing.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm staying for the game tonight, just because I need some days off. But I'll be there for pregame stuff, so I will definitely be there for first pitch. Might even head down on the field to support you.
Oh, probably. That'd be wonderful.
How do you think he's gonna do?
If I could give one piece of advice, anytime that I was worried about bouncing a throw or short hopping a throw, focus on making sure you get extension with your legs. So take a big step. Getting yourself a little closer toward home plate will allow your arm to follow through and get a little bit more velocity and distance in your throw.
Like Bailey Falter does.
Yes, exactly.
I'm so screwed. He's talking actual mechanics to me.
Keep that in mind.
No, but I like this from you, Noah, because the advice I got from John Wehner was be a man.
That too. That helps. Although women can also get extension on the mound. So either way, just make sure keep that in your mind while you're in your delivery. Just make sure you get extended on the ground, because that's going to get you further toward the mound and allow you to throw a strike.
All right, get extension and be a man. Very good.
Yes.
All right, Noah. So the Pirates rotation has looked really good this turn through. And the Pirates bullpen don't look now has a 3.38 ERA, which is eighth best in all of ball. We thought these things would be strengths coming in. They have started to morph into strengths. But the lineup, it's still the issue. Are we about to see O'Neill Cruz go on one of these O'Neill Cruz runs? Because if he could do this for a week, week and a half, I mean, you can rack up some wins here. It doesn't take much.
They're going to need him to. I'm a big fan of him batting in the leadoff spot. I think I've said that on this station multiple times over the past few weeks. I've written it. I've said it on our YouTube channel. I just think that it makes the most sense for this lineup right now. Maybe not long term, but right now, where, as we saw yesterday, one big swing of the bat can win you a ball game, you need to bat your most dynamic threat first, simply because he gets the most opportunities to come to the plate. And he can win you a game through just one home run swing. He also leads Major League Baseball in stolen bases. So if he draws a walk to lead the game off, steals second, now you have a runner on second with no outs with Reynolds, McCutchen, and Bart up to bat. That is your best opportunity. That is your best scenario in which you could score a run. So that's why I think it makes sense for him to bat leadoff right now. And if he can continue to just get on base. I mean, the home runs obviously are nice, but getting on base at that spot in the order, that gives them the best chance to score right now, because as I pointed out, no one can throw this guy out on the bats. Mm-mm. And they have, for as weak as their lineup has been right now, because Reynolds is healthy enough to play outfield again and Bart's healthy enough to get behind the plate, they have a, I would say, at least a major league qualified 1-4, which is something that I don't know if you could say they had at many games this season.
Noah, can you give us a player / injury update on certain guys? David Bednar, what he is doing in AAA right now. Colin Holderman, Nick Gonzalez, and Jared Jones. Can you give us a little update on those guys?
Yeah, man, I feel like when Todd Tomczyk, the director of sports medicine, gives us those up. We'll start with Mr. Jones, as he would say. Jared, not much has changed for Jared, and I wouldn't expect it. He's doing the two-handed plyometric ball throwing program right now, which he was cleared to start, I believe, last week. Just getting a little work in. I talked to him, what it would have been, 2 weeks ago when they were down in Tampa, and he said he's actually working out more. It's just all workouts designed to not put stress on the elbow. But he seems to be in good spirits. Who else did you? Oh, Bednar, a quick update on him. I don't know if he threw yesterday, but in his first five outings in AAA, he's looked really good. Hasn't allowed a run. I know he didn't even allow a hit in his first four. So I don't know. I don't think that's going to lead to a promotion anytime super fast, but it seems like the early showings are looking really good for him in the minor leagues. What were the other names you asked?
Holderman. Sorry. And Nick Gonzalez.
Okay, so Nick Gonzalez just started a running program on a treadmill. Not running as in like full strength running, but a program on a treadmill that allows him to put some weight on the ankle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so he's got some time. And then Holderman just threw... He just threw a bullpen on the field. I want to say it was either Tuesday or Wednesday. I believe it was Wednesday. So I wouldn't be shocked if he started a rehab assignment here this weekend.
How about Luis Ortiz on the bump tonight for the Cleveland Guardians? What's going on with Spencer Horowitz?
Well, I'll just say first off, I think Luis Ortiz is going to have a really good game.
Mm. Yeah, me
simply
too.
Because that's just kind of how these things go, right? And, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the box, the stat line for his last start. Looked pretty good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We'll see about that one. Spencer Horowitz is a guy where I think he's probably starting a rehab assignment within the next week or so. But this is going to be a lengthy rehab assignment. The first step in that process would be heading down to Bradenton to get live at bats against probably someone like Dari Murrieta, who's still rehabbing as well, back from Tommy John. He'll do that for, I don't know, a couple days, maybe a week. And then he's got to get, I would say, probably 30 plate appearances in a rehab assignment at least to simulate what could be at least a brief spring training. So he's got some time before he's in the major leagues. But I mean, he's participating in full baseball activity now. So there's no injury restrictions. It's more just building up volume and getting up to speed on the game of baseball, which he hasn't played in an organized manner since September.
No, this was good. This was informative. I will be practicing my extension in the backyard this afternoon. And I don't want to let my family down tonight, but I most importantly don't want to let you down.
I don't. You could never. So just do your best, Adam. I believe in you.
Going to be a wonderful father, Noah Hiles. Yep. Thank you, Noah.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Noah.
What a guy.
He was like half asleep.
Noah? Oh, you weren't impressed by Noah's performance today?
No, I was, but just right there, his eyes like just started like slowly shutting.
He looked pretty tired when talked to him at first.
Callis, you're our baseball guy here. You have any advice?
For what?
The first pitch. What?
I wouldn't take his advice. Like, he's going to tell you everything opposite.
No, he wants
You should lift your leg as low as possible, mm-hmm. extend as short as possible, and just make sure that when you finish through that your hand's about to touch the ground. Like, that's how far you want to finish down.
All right. All good notes. I think that John Wehner's advice is the easiest to follow because you find it deep within yourself. He says, be a man. Be a man.
You think that's the easiest? Can you find that?
I think courage is in here somewhere.
Have you found it before?
No.
Huh.
No.
How are you getting down to the game, by the way?
Why?
Do you want to go together? I got a van.
The Steelers and Shedeur Sanders at pick 21. That this is a marriage made in heaven for Mike Tomlin if Sanders is still there. Tomlin really likes Sanders, says McShay. This makes me nervous because I like Sanders and I don't feel comfortable being in the same place as Mike Tomlin on something.
Oh, you got to free your mind. I've acknowledged agreeing with lots of Ben Roethlisberger's post-playing career takes. Stop being such a baby.
Yes, Ben Roethlisberger tends to be right about a lot of things. Mike Tomlin, wrong about quarterbacks. I, wrong about Kenny Pickett. Mike, wrong about Kenny Pickett.
Ben believed in Kenny Pickett. I never did. Actually, did he believe in him at all?
You started to come around on Kenny a little bit.
Really.
You try to deny that stuff and say, well, it was fake Mulsey on the air, authentic Mulsey off the air, never believed in Kenny Pickett. But
I said he did all he could
air,
in the preseason to convince a skeptic like me, and then as soon as they came in there and the Youngstown 49ers contingent blew their doors off, the ruse was over.
Sometimes authentic Mulsey, after he had that great second half against the Rams, I had to pretend that Kenny Pickett was on the right track, but really deep down, authentic Mulsey didn't think so.
Well, let's not
Donnie,
lose
am
the
I
task
right about that?
Here.
He does that. He, after the fact, says, well, I was right because the guy you were getting on the air was not really me. It was pretend me. It was on-air me. That's not the same as real me. And the
No, it was me trying to find silver linings in what I still felt like was a dark cloud.
Your job is to just give your real takes. You should have come out after that game and said, oh, who gives a crap about one game against the Rams? The guy's got small hands and sucks.
I mean, I think I managed to probably get right back to that point like a week later.
Yeah. Well, don't be inconsistent. I'm killing people for this. You guys have been making fun of Jason Mackey's column about T.J. Watt because he didn't pick a side.
What do you mean, you guys? I didn't make fun of it.
No, I definitely did.
Talking more about Joe and Chris on this one. So
Joe's not even on this show. Why are you lumping him in? He's got to go to the ATM right now.
Oh,
he's
sorry.
Got a lot bigger problems.
My bad.
Than that.
I didn't know that we're not allowed to talk about other people's opinions on our show.
Well, when you say you guys and you mean me and Joe, people will naturally not understand that you mean Joe in there.
Okay.
So you are nervous because the player you have actually started to talk yourself into and you think would be a good pick at 21 is a player that the head coach thinks would be a good pick at 21, and you are very uncomfortable given the head coach's non-existent track record at developing quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'd feel much better if Andy Weidel and Omar Khan had somehow hypnotized Mike Tomlin into thinking what was best for the franchise was Shedeur Sanders, and I knew that it was coming from them and not Mike. But it sounds like it's coming from Mike. And the other thing that I think you can infer, or you can trust me on this, which this isn't Brandon Ayuk, so I think you can trust me on this
I'm actually going to turn this around on you. If you're going to rip me and say I went back on my opinions, I backed you on the Ayuk thing loudly.
So we both look bad.
I stood in your corner.
People don't still tweet you about Brandon Ayuk, and they do that with me every day, no matter what I tweet about. It can be about the Pirates, and someone says, well, how is Brandon Ayuk pitching tonight?
I do love that.
Oh.
Is that the sound
Did
that they're
Brandon
making?
Ayuk steal second base? Oh. I've got the sense of humor of a friggin' idiot. Ooh. Okay. Anyways.
Let's get this conversation over the goal line here, pal.
Should I just leave now?
Something that never happened with
Donnie,
Brandon
you
want to
take over here and I'll go have the steak dinner with Joe tonight? I think the owner is supportive of Sanders too. And here's the two things that make me feel that way. He said at his season-ending press conference that they needed to find a quarterback and mentioned the draft several times, not the 2026 draft in Pittsburgh, but this draft, the one that's going to happen in 9 days. And he also, more than his coach, seems to be a guy who remembers Terry Bradshaw and Ben Roethlisberger and most of the quarterbacks he's watched for his adult life and probably formative years in football too, and thinks that it's a guy that makes plays from the pocket. And Sanders, even more so than Ward, makes plays from the pocket.
Sanders is the purest pocket passer of top four or five guys being even discussed.
So I think our can be talked into being a Sanders believer for that reason. And I think Mike clearly is. I don't think McShay is making this up for clicks or to create a smokescreen.
I don't think
Jeff Hathorn is doing that either.
No, Jeff never does that. I don't think Todd does that, McShay. Then there's already a major inconsistency, though, with Mike if he does like Sanders as much as is being reported. He has pounded the table. It is a known thing. He has said it in his own words.
Yep.
That he values quarterback mobility to a very high degree. Shedeur Sanders' dad might be one of the most athletic people ever to play in the NFL.
And he got his mom's genes.
Shedeur Sanders, I think, didn't Dion make that joke?
Maybe, but if he Shedeur did, somebody
Sanders
made it for him.
Is not a high-end athlete.
But maybe we should start actually grading and taking Mike Tomlin, not at his word, but at his actions. He picked Kenny Pickett over Malik Willis, even though Willis was the much better athlete and much more mobile quarterback. He had Russell Wilson and Justin Fields on his roster last year, and when both were healthy, elected to play the far less mobile quarterback of the two. He says he prefers mobile quarterbacks. He says it all the time, but when challenged or pushed on it, he usually just defaults back to going with the pocket guy. He has. So, like, the idea that Mike Tomlin would be smitten by one of the greatest football players of all time, his son being a quarterback and having really good results in college and thinking if I get him here, he's going to be pro ready because he's been around pro football his entire life. And I don't want a project. I want someone who I can play either immediately or have on standby in case a 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers gets injured this year. It makes sense that he would like Sanders. There's not a lot of projectable with Sanders. It's he goes in and kind of high floor, what you see is what you get. That's probably why he liked Kenny so much, because he had a high floor. He ended up being a bust in the end, so you know the high floor thing didn't backfire on him.
High floor seems so short. I think Sanders is a better prospect than Kenny was.
He clearly is.
It's obvious. That should be
obvious. At one point, he was considered to be the number one pick in the draft. Now, it hasn't gone that way, but Kenny was never bandied about or talked about as a
potential first overall pick. I still think there's only one true first-round pick at quarterback in this draft, and it's Ward. That's my opinion.
And you're right. He's separated himself, but I'm saying at least last football season, it was a two-horse race. Kenny was never in the Kentucky Derby of first-round pick or first overall pick.
Well, there's nobody in Kenny's draft. It's an historically bad draft for that position. And
other than Brock Purdy, it was the overall. Overall last pick, but continue.
It still is a historically bad draft at that position. This one is better. It's not great, but it's better by a significant enough margin that you should look at some of the guys at the top a little bit differently. This is so myopic. This is so nearsighted. If Tomlin really is this hot to trot about Sanders, probably because we know he loves bloodlines, like you said, and he loves NFL genes, and he loves the fact that the kid is not going to be cowed by the NFL spotlight because he's been living in it for years now.
I could take him into Baltimore and he's going to cut off his eyelids and not blink.
Sure. All that stupid stuff that I'm very sick of hearing because I hear it every single year. Mike knows what he's up against at the very bare minimum in the AFC. He knows what he's up against in his own division. He's got the supercomputer at the line of scrimmage in Joe Burrow. That's his super. He's got like superpowers. Before the snap, he sees it all, he processes it all.
Sure.
He's got very good traits, too.
Yeah.
He's got the other cheat code in Lamar Jackson in his own division, who just exercised his Tomlin demons and ran him over in the playoffs. He's got, if he somehow gets through one of those situations, or depending on how the chips would fall, he's got to deal with Josh Allen, who's a cyborg. Oh, and by the way, and I'm not even going to go down the list to Stroud, to Herbert, to other guys, right? Or to even Drake May, who you know I'm a big fan of. There's still the dude looming in Kansas City, and the reason this strikes me as so short-sighted, so nearsighted on Mike's part is, best case scenario, Shedeur is a guy with good situation and good teammates around him and a good system and all that other stuff. He gets the most out of his abilities. Doesn't that kind of sound like Tua to you? Like, put him in a good system, put him with good teammates, put him behind a good line, and he can be pretty good to a point. We always talk about try to find somebody that is like an alien or a cheat code or a guy who, I like your term all the time for Ben at his best, a force multiplier for players around him. Shedeur Sanders is not that dude.
And people still don't think Jalen Hurts is that, and he just won the Super Bowl and beat Mahomes and it wasn't close. And that's right now, that's going to be the rebuttal and that's going to be the way that people justify.
But I have an easy justification or rebuttal back. Does Howie Roseman run the Steelers?
No, but
Mike Tomlin preeminently does.
Well, you used a key word there, myopic. in his myopic world, they haven't gotten good quarterback play, and they won 10 games again last year.
But they were never, much like, to use like a golf analogy, Scottie Scheffler finished fourth at the Masters, was never actually a threat to win the tournament if you watched. They had 10 wins. They were never a threat to win a playoff game if you were
I know,
watching.
But Scheffler thinks to himself, man, if I make five putts inside of 12 feet, I win the tournament.
Big difference. Scheffler won two of those big boys already.
Big difference. Tomlin's never had a losing season, so he thinks he's always great.
That's just,
I mean,
that's the equivalent of finishing 10th at every tournament,
I know,
but never winning
but
one.
We're dealing with the delusional human being here. I don't
well,
know if
that's why
you've...
I'm so uncomfortable about this entire scenario, because I think the coach doesn't know how to identify talent
Which
at that position.
Which gets me back to what I said at the beginning.
He is panic pushing
yes.
this button. Gets... I hope the Giants do them a favor and take Shedeur Sanders.
Well, it gets me back to what I said. I am nervous about this because I have been very bullish on Sanders lately, and now to hear that Tomlin is based practically drooling over the guy gives me pause.
Is it knocking you off your spot completely?
No, not off my spot, because I'm a man of conviction and I'm going to stick with what I saw in college football. But yeah, like it gives me, I hesitate for sure. This is interesting. Our Twitter poll, 20 minutes ago, we posted this. 900 of you or close to it have already voted. If Sanders slips to 21, do you want the Steelers to take him? 51% say yes. So it's pretty much 50-50. I thought for sure it was going to be much more heavily slanted towards no. Maybe it's just the way we do sports talk radio and what the YouTube channel looks like with the comments from the Boobsburg feelers of the world and people like that.
Somehow the YouTube comments are arguing about Keaton Slovis right
now. And Donnie's text line and everything else. But and the phone calls, of course. We'll open up the lines now at 412-928-9370. But the feedback we get on this show is usually heavily anti-Shedeur Sanders. I get very little support when I say this is a good idea. But Twitter is basically split down the middle, slanting or skewing a little bit more towards yes.
Well, now we've got
this
another
is a good idea.
I don't know if you have this one cut yet. I don't know how long ago it happened. Now you've got another theory. The Giants could take Abdul Carter at 3 and still get in the Steelers' way by trading up to make sure they get Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah,
Schrager yeah, that, floating
yep.
that.
Yep.
I mean, I would like the Giants to do the Steelers a favor, because if I'm hearing from reliable sources, I consider McShay and Hathorn both to be exactly that there is a real affection for the player here on the part of the head coach, who we know has the loudest voice, and if the owner still believes games are won from the pocket, a lot of different streams are converging to kind of create a big river of support here for a player I don't want them to take. And I will plant my flag and not waver from it. The guy's a better prospect than Kenny Pickett, but it's only a matter of degree and not enough of one to get them where they need to go.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Micah McHenry, former Pirate catcher. You know him now from analyzing the sport. He's on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Michael, good to be with you again. I feel like I buried the lead last week. I thought about this when I went home. I thought, why didn't I ask Michael a follow-up question when he said he works out all the time, he lifts weights like a maniac, and he might be trying for an Olympic spot? How could I not have asked a follow-up? Tell us more about that.
Well, it's not the real Olympics. It'd be a Pan Am game or something like that. They do it every single year, just about. I wanted to get the 40 and over where I could actually probably compete. Prior to that, those guys are absolutely insane, the weight they can throw around. But yeah, I've always had a passion for it. It's what I thought I would do after baseball, is either be a strength coach or something of that nature. And, you know, then it kind of fell in the line with being able to be a part of all of it. So it's been nice.
Okay, so what would your event be? Is it called a deadlift? What's it called?
It'd be the all around is the snatch and the clean and jerk.
So clean and
lifts. It goes way back.
All right, yeah. So it's basically sort of just reaching down and picking up a bunch of weight, bringing it up to your chest or so, and then raising it above your head. Correct.
That's one lift. That's the clean and jerk, and the other lift is you actually throw it above your head and you catch it. Like a snatch.
I'm not sure.
In line with your spine, you have to catch it. Say what?
I'm not sure limits here could lift 10 pounds. What's your?
I could do that. Once we get a little bit heavier, it would probably be a problem.
What's your maximum weight?
10 pounds
on each
Joe?
Of those. I don't know.
On snatch, I've caught 245, and then on the clean and jerk, 335.
Oh my God. Okay. Well,
yeah,
we're
which would qualify me. So then I'd have to kind of chase the numbers that have been set because they're on the USA website. You can look at it and see who's won. And weird enough, Jim Malone, I don't know if you remember that name. He was a former Pirates strength coach.
Ah.
And he's actually won 4 gold medals. I think the last time he competed, it was 55 and above. And I think he was one of 2 guys that competed in the United States. So he got to go compete, I don't know, say Austria or wherever it was. That's the coolest part is they actually pay for you to go compete for the United States. So that's the goal at some point.
That is truly awesome. Good luck with that
pursuit.
Yeah, it'd
be fun. Old man throwing some weight around.
Yeah, man, that's cool. Limits, maybe they have a lifting of the toothpick competition that you could join.
I think I'd thrive at that.
I'd be very good at
or
that.
Or brushing my teeth competition. Yeah, or
you never know.
Or maybe just a 12-ounce icy light toss.
Yes.
I'd be great in these sit on your couch and watch the baseball game competition and talk to yourself about it. I would be wonderful
have won
at that.
Many gold medals. What's the key before we get to the Pirates, Michael, to lose a gut like I have? I can't stop eating sweets, you know, donuts, cookies, ice cream. Plus, I don't work out that much. So I guess I'm answering my own question. What's the biggest
key?
You know
what really does work?
Yeah.
Blood work.
What do you mean?
Go see someone and get blood work. And I think seeing it on a piece of paper of what actually can help you.
Yeah.
And not guessing is a huge factor. I mean, it helped me. I mean, I feel like I'm doing better now that I'm having blood work every 6 months again. Because it gives you a reality. Like, hey, I need to do this. This is going to make me feel better. Where everything else, you're kind of guessing.
I like that idea. All right. Perhaps I'll do that, Limits. You and I can do that together.
I think we can both get stronger together, yes. That'd be a good idea. We can
make the show a little stronger.
We'll check ins every week, guys. We'll check in.
There we go.
I would love that. All right. How about Skeens last night? Pretty darn good, yes?
Yeah, I loved what he did. So in his last start, I don't want to say he struggled, right? It's just not real. We've been joking around at the office. He'd never given up 5 runs ever in his career. And I'm dating back to the womb, right? Like this guy just had never really struggled. So he goes out and he was middle across. And what I mean by that is his natural arm slot is a little bit lower this year, but it naturally makes him throw the ball almost sideways, middle across the zone. And when he can't get below that middle area, that's the only time I could ever see him getting in trouble. And he did it last start. This last start, though, was incredible because he was going to both sides and then really working north and south. And when he gets his fastball above the zone, it's obviously electric anyways. But because that unique arm slot and angle he throws from, they can't hit it. And then being able to throw that changeup and splinker below the zone is just not fair. I mean, you're talking about having to cover that entire quadrant, that 9 zones they show all the time with the strike zone, and you just can't. I mean, you can't cover down the middle most of the time with them, let alone 9 zones.
How about from the other end of the battery last night? They made history, actually, Skeens and Davis as the first 2 number 1 overall picks to form a battery for a game. What's it like coming into a game cold like that if you're Henry Davis? And added to that, a lot of people talking about Davis improving as a catcher.
Well, me and Henry are probably built from the same cloth. He probably loved it like I did because you always want to be the best teammate possible. So being ready in those moments kind of solidify the resilience and the perseverance and the persistence, I guess, that you have to want to help your team. And sometimes that'll give a jolt to the team because it's outside the norm. I hope Indy's okay, but I love the fact that Henry Davis literally chest checked her on, little dangly thing from his pitch comm, running out like, hey, let's go, I'm ready. And like 2 throws and roll, you know, because you don't want to mess up the rhythm. I used to not even take a throw, you know, even if there's run on first base, because I grab my plyo ball, throw it as hard as I can, gets the wall and run out there. And there's something to be said about that. And I think he caught an incredible game. The rhythm to the game was awesome. Sometimes that's the one thing you'll notice when guys come in behind the plate. But now he was just right on the same page with Skeens, reading the hitters really, really well. But the one thing, guys, I will say over and over again, let's remember 2 years ago, this guy was playing in right field. He couldn't catch. He wasn't good enough defensively. Well, I think he's pretty already wrong.
Express?
Michael, what do you make of Key Brian Hayes' first couple of weeks into the season, the two-handed swing approach, and just the way that he's changed his game a little bit? Defensively, he looks like the same player he always has been.
Yeah, I would argue that he looks better defensively. I don't know if we've seen him barehand a ball up to this point more than maybe once, and he's done it twice in the last week, which has been fun to watch, especially the fact that it was his back that was bothering him. That would have to be the hardest ball to get to if your back's bothering you. But yeah, his swing looks awesome. I talked to Key in spring training, guys, and his mindset had shifted. And I think that was the coolest thing I saw about him, and hearing his conviction and what he was trying to do. I was like, man, this has a chance to really catch, and it looks like it really is. I mean, expected batting average is .305 right now. He's hitting the ball extremely hard, consistently. And what I love the most is it's been a consistent approach. You see him just hammering balls to right field. That's who he is. The power is going to show up at times, especially on off-speed pitches. He's going to be able to catch those out in front because of that conviction in his approach, which is really nice to see.
Micah McHenry on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. It's 116. Now's the time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agent. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Michael, I love to hear you break down hitters and the art of hitting. And Henry Davis, like, I don't break down the art of hitting, but I could feel through the TV screen from the time that he first came up here that he was trying to squeeze the bat into sawdust. It just has always felt to me like here's a guy who wants to do well so badly that it's almost counterproductive. What are you seeing from him at the plate? I know he swung at a couple bad balls last night, but he also had a hit. Like, where does he need to get to? What's the key here?
Right in the middle of where you're talking about is my opinion, and where he's gotten behind the plate. Trust the preparation, trust the work. Don't try to overdo it. I mean, he hit that ball in Cincinnati about 9,000 feet foul, and I love the conviction he had after to say, hey, that means I'm in a good spot, because when I'm catching a fastball up front, good things are usually going to come. I was a guy that was quick inside and would be too quick out of the zone as well, and you just have to back it up. And I think coming up, there's probably a lot of things playing in his mind. He only has so many chances, so many opportunities. Last time he came up, he literally sat on the bench and watched Grandal catch over him. And that plays with your psyche, you know, being that guy before. And I can't imagine being the guy and be a number one overall pick. So he's trying to prove himself. I think if he gets out there again today, you're going to see it start to slow down and him start to really show what he can do with the bat. But I'm telling you right now, what he's doing behind the plate is going to help the team just as much or more. And if he realizes that, I think the bat will be a bonus and start to really take off for him. The bonus in his mind is what I mean.
Outside of yesterday, Michael, scoring 10 runs, the offense as a whole has struggled this year. What do you think is mainly holding them back?
I think they've been in between. And what I mean by that is who they are. So there's so much information. You have a new hitting coach, a couple of new hitting coaches come in, and you're trying as fast as possible to build the rapport, the relationship, and it's very difficult. So you're receiving this information with so many moving pieces, with injuries and guys playing different positions, lineups constantly moving around. Guys are trying to find their identity and what they're trying to do, but also try to figure out, how can I stay in the big leagues? How can I stay in the starting lineup? And that is not easy. So it's kind of a full arsenal of oh no's. And you try to just push everyone away and figure out, how can I narrow this focus? And I love what they did last night. They hunted the heater. There's a guy in the good old Farquad Lord that pitched. He threw 88% heaters pretty much throughout his career. And they went up and looked for it. And they got it. And they tried not to do too much. And you saw the product of that. And that's what they need to do.
The other thing that happened last night is Kutch brought back some of that old Zoltan energy with the necklaces. Mm-hmm. What did you make of that? Were you part of that? Do you own one of those from a long time ago? Were you in on that?
I was in on it back in the day. It's aqua metal is what they said. I had to look it up. Back in the day, they claimed it gave you blood flow, and they do these balance tests. It ended up turning out fake. They got in a lawsuit, but there's power in it. I mean, you saw him diving around, flying like a Marvel character out in the outfield once again. I think he looks pretty youthful. And yeah, these guys came out. But sometimes, guys, it's just about taking your mind off of it.
Yeah.
You know, going out and remember, this is a game. You know, we do get paid quite a bit to play it. But I think Kutch is the perfect person to go out and be the kid. You know, that's his personality. Talked to him last night, and the reality of it is like, yeah, I'm going to lead the way I can and the way I should. And I love the fact that he understands who he is, and he went out and did it.
Michael, my friend City Limits here, the producer of this show and the person that you interact with on a regular basis, is a gigantic wiffle ball player. This guy runs a wiffle ball league in Baltimore. Did you grow up playing wiffle ball?
Not Baltimore. That would be pretty far.
You said Baltimore, did I say?
That'd be Baldwin. A far travel.
The Baltimore, yeah, the Baltimore Orioles. He's a big wiffle ball guy, Michael. How about you?
I'm in. I don't know if you're asking me to play, but I'm inviting myself.
Oh my God.
So where are we going?
Can you imagine you
there, Michael? I will definitely invite you. My friends would think that's crazy. I was with a friend yesterday. His name is Jeremy. When we were, when I sent you a picture of you on TV asking if you were good for today, we were sitting at dinner and he was like, oh my gosh, there's Michael McHenry. He was my favorite catcher growing up. And I said, I have to text him for the show tomorrow. I just had to thank you for reminding me. Mm. He thought that was really cool. You could meet him there. That'd be cool.
Yeah, let's go. I'm in. I think it'd be a blast. And I love that you play wiffle ball. Everybody else is doing the pickleball thing. You're staying the old school route and staying with good old wiffle ball. That's good. It's good to know.
You must have grown up playing wiffle ball with, you know, every stadium, every backyard stadium is unique. And I'm hoping that you use the classic thin yellow bat with the ball with the little slits in it, Michael, right?
I mean, I'm hoping so. If not, I'll get one of those big barrel, the original torpedo. You know, get out there and do it.
That's right.
You remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's like you give it to a four-year-old and it looks like he's holding a 2x4
right.
taped together with another 2x4. It's awesome.
Michael, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it, man.
Sounds good. You guys take care. God bless.
Why not him for the Niceness Hall of Fame Limits?
He'd be a good candidate.
Have we overlooked him? Is he getting snubbed?
Is that the key to Austin Bechtold finally winning a championship? Michael McHenry plays for my team.
How about that as a ringer? You bring him in there? That would be unbelievable.
And I'm sure that would really set the whole entire league on fire.
All right, what's happening here? My daughter is in the middle of her driving test. My wife said, call her, please, if you haven't already. Is that good news or bad news?
I don't think that's good.
What?
Call her if you haven't already. That sounds like...
Well, why would I have called her? She was out on the course.
Well, maybe she would have texted you.
That's an automatic failure if she picks up her phone while she's taking her driving test.
As someone that has failed their driving test before, as I think a lot of people have failed their driving test.
Well, like I said, it's a scam. They get you on the parallel park, which doesn't even matter. That becomes the crux of the entire test, so that you have to pay for another test.
Do you pay for the test?
Yeah, you pay for the test.
You obviously pay for your license.
What do you think? They're free? Nothing's free limits.
I know that, but a texter said that you don't pay for the test. I can't remember.
Bull
it was
crap.
Years ago.
I just paid it.
Yeah, then you probably know
what's
very
he talking
well.
About?
I don't know, but I would think just by the verbiage of that text that Susie is either really playing this off to get you very nervous and to call her and that she's going to be very excited to talk to you, or that things went poorly and your daughter failed the test and is going to be consoled.
Either way, I can't handle it. This is a bad outcome either way for me, right?
Yeah, well, could be, yes.
Yeah, it is.
Because you don't want her to drive, but at the same time, you don't want her to fail.
How about McHenry with the 350 pounds on the clean and jerk?
Yeah, how about that?
I'm telling you, you would clean up in a toothpick lifting contest.
You think so?
Yeah.
I like going to restaurants and getting the toothpicks. I might do that tonight at our dinner. I might grab a couple.
For practice.
Yeah, I like to use the toothpicks. You know, you just kind of have them for show sometimes.
Coming up, the NHL Players Association had their annual vote on various categories. And it's like 600 players. Like it's a huge portion of the league. Did Sidney Crosby win yet again? As the most complete player in the league, as judged by his peers? I'll tell you about that next. The second annual Fan 5-Alarm Marathon, presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, takes place June 5th and 6th. This year, the broadcast will take place at Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department, currently looking for 25 fire departments that will benefit from the fundraising. Register yours now at 937thefan.com. Brought to you by Aviation Management Group, North Country Brew Red House Ale, Saloni's Italian Bakery, and Don's Appliances. First Limits, let me tell you a little bit about FanDuel. I'm a nervous wreck because my Golden State Warriors season is on the line tonight, and I'm also very angry at them for losing the other day. I don't feel great about this. What I do feel great about from a FanDuel perspective is Zach Edey of the Grizzlies getting upwards of 20 rebounds. I'm serious about that. You can hit the jackpot when you bet the NBA on FanDuel, partnership with Valley Forge, America's number one sportsbook, because with FanDuel's Downtown Jackpot, you have a chance to win a share of $1 million in bonus bets. All you have to do is place a bet on player-made threes using your exclusive profit boost. And if you're playing...